This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Wang Shaoning and Noel Lim. It's 7.36 in the morning, Monday the 10th of February. And in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill where, Shaoning, you'll be speaking with Fahmi Fazil, MP for Lembah Pantai.
Yeah, we're going to find out what's happening in his constituency, the possibility of having local elections, and of course, the challenges related to being an MP in KL, and of course, the important working relationship with DBKL, because, you know, they actually kind of run the whole of Kuala Lumpur. But also, given all the recent noise over the weekend about political infighting within PKR, I'm going to be asking him in his capacity as the party's communication director about the road ahead for this coalition, and also who's going to be the next PM.
All right. Well, if you're interested in that conversation, be sure to stay tuned after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. But otherwise, this morning, we are taking a look at some of the official data released on Sunday about the coronavirus death toll in China. And that has risen to over 900 at this point, surpassing the death toll from the SARS epidemic of 2003. Now, for the past 2 weeks, many of China's teeming cities have become ghost towns as the government ordered lockdowns, cancelled flights, closed factories and shut schools and workplaces.
So after an extended Lunar New Year break, authorities are making plans for millions of people in China to return to work as the number of new infections reported per day in China has actually fallen significantly, and leading health officials have declared their containment measures were starting to work. I think now the priority is really to take care of some of the 30,000 over cases and to make sure that the death rate does not increase.
Meanwhile, China's cabinet said that it would coordinate with transport authorities to ensure the smooth return to work of employees in key industries such as food and medicines. The State Council's Special Coronavirus Group also said that workers should return in batches rather than all at once in order to reduce the infection risk. On another note, the scale of the potential hit to the economy, which has been an engine of global growth in recent years, has nonetheless taken a toll on financial markets. We did see the stock market slump and investors switch into safe haven assets such as gold, bonds and the Japanese yuan. But, you know, I want to point out something that despite all this, right, the Chinese government has been nonetheless been very efficient in ensuring that even in Wuhan and Hubei province, where it's the epicenter of the virus, you can still have access to supermarkets which have remained opened. Healthcare, of course, is limited because of this virus. Banks are still working. So there hasn't been this somewhat state of panic. I think initially, yes, when at the very beginning, there was some concern. But the Chinese government is very conscious of the need that calm should prevail.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to note that while, yes, over 900 people have died, and that is truly very tragic, it is important to note that the number of new infections detected every day appears to be starting to slow. And hopefully, if this trend continues, then we could see this virus outbreak peaking this month. And then in the next couple of months, we will see kind of things start to recover from the fear that has surrounded this outbreak. Because from the analysts that we've spoken to, you know, in terms of an outlook for international markets, that's really the best case scenario that we can hope for at this point, that the virus outbreak peaks within the month. And then we have, we recover perhaps in 2 months and we still have the rest of the year to see the global markets pick up again. Now, factories in China, though, have been closed for an extended holiday due to the coronavirus. They're expected to reopen today, a week later than scheduled. And now, important thing here is that these factories are the center of the electronics industry's supply chain. And there are worries that even if these factories quickly return to full production, the coronavirus could continue to disrupt electronics manufacturing well into the 2020 holiday season.
Yeah, certainly, I think reports are quite mixed on this. If the factory closures had to will be continued till the end of the month. People say that that there will be some serious repercussions on the global supply chain. But if they are going to be open this week as expected, I think there may be some ease there. But certainly, I think delays in the design and prototyping processes could cascade well into the holiday season. And so this is really going to be quite problematic.
I think the first casualty has already been Hyundai, the car manufacturer in South Korea. They've had to close down some of their plants as a result of not having this essential car part which comes from China. Now, the other thing that I think this coronavirus will kind of force MNCs and any of these huge tech companies to kind of relook at things is do concentration of their factories. Will there be now this urge, other than the US trade war, to kind of have factories beyond China, right? Because it's all about concentration risk. And we do see the impact of this clearly during the Wuhan coronavirus.
And Malaysia could very well be the beneficiary, right? China plus one, and we could be the plus one.
Well, we hope we benefit from this so-called substitution effects. But the worrying thing is if this coronavirus continues beyond February, mm-hmm. I think all global economies will be taking a hit. Even consumption patterns in Malaysia might change. I think we can see that already when we go and visit some of the restaurants and the malls over the weekend. Things are a little bit quieter. Traffic was a little bit lighter. People just prefer to stay at home.
And even more so, I think, in China, because there have been reports that Chinese tourist numbers have started to drop off because the Chinese people are concerned about any kind of activity that might expose them to large crowds. So it's not just the manufacturing industry that has been hit. Restaurants, cinemas, transport providers, hotels and shops are also quickly feeling the impact of this virus. And it, particularly considering this health crisis occurred during the Lunar New Year break, has meant that all of these industries have been particularly exposed to commercial losses. Because when you're talking about an economy of over a billion people, a strong domestic economy, Chinese New Year, these 2 weeks, is one of the main drivers and main festive seasons of the year. And if people have been concerned about being exposed to a virus, it means that shops will be seeing a fraction of the kind of numbers they've been expecting.
Yeah, there's an estimated as much as a US $150 billion losses from people. Well, it's not real a loss, but basically that's how much the Chinese typically spend during these 2 weeks of the Chinese Lunar New Year, completely almost wiped out. Because apparently, even if you go to Beijing, Tiananmen Square is empty. Nobody really dares kind of leave their home, right? So tourism in China impacted. And of course, tourism here too impacted. We do know that the tours for China in February for Genting and Awana completely cancelled, mm-hmm. right? So they are already the first casualty.
And I'm also hearing that, even gatherings, now Chinese New Year gatherings in Malaysia, I think like banks and so forth, they've also cancelled their parties.
Yeah, they have. So we're starting to see the repercussions starting to ripple out from this outbreak. Hopefully we will start seeing some signs of recovery soon. But right now we're about to head into some messages. And then up next, we'll be speaking with Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute, on rumours of a PAS, UMNO and Bersatu coalition. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.